It's 9:59. You're tuned to KBOO Portland. Coming right up, it's Chris Andre hosting Air Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary. And then at 10:15, Flashpoints features an extended report on the killings of at least 9 teachers in Mexico. Also, an in-depth discussion with Roots Action founder Norman Solomon. He's also a pledged delegate for Bernie Sanders. At 11 o'clock, we've got the Recovery Zone today. Stephanie Potter interviews Jennifer Jones and Jessica Applegate of the Eastside Air Coalition, also Alma Velasquez of the Cully Air Action Team, and Sarah Clark of the South Portland Air Quality Group about the toxins in Portland's air. Thanks for tuning in to KBOO today. In just a moment, we'll get right to Air Cascadia.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Green Day's American Idiot, produced by Triangle Productions. Don't wanna be an American idiot. The 2-time Tony Award-winning hit follows Johnny, Toonie, and Will as they flee the constraints of their hometown for the thrills of the city life in this energy-filled rock opera. That's American Idiot, June 9th through July 2nd at the Sanctuary at Sandy Plaza, 1785 Northeast Sandy Boulevard in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events. One nation controlled by the media. Information age of hysteria. It's going out to idiot America.
Cascadia. Today is Wednesday, June 22nd, 2016, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, real radio for real people at 90.7 FM, kboo.fm on the web. We've got a little bit of weather for you today. Today's sunny, mostly with a high near 75 and light wind. Tonight, there is a chance of showers moving in late, and you'll hear the beautiful sound of rain on the window, the rooftop. Mostly cloudy, lows around 56, and light winds again for tomorrow. Showers, highs near 65, and southwest wind 6 to 11 miles per hour, gusting up to 18 in some places. And for tomorrow night, showers likely again early, and low around 52 again. We could get a little bit gusty, but for the most part, an even 6 to 11 miles per hour in the wind department. And that's it for the weather. Today's guests would seem to be a disparate pair, but in fact, as we, you know, as you learn again and again every day looking at this stuff, the connections are not necessarily always on the surface and obviously apparent, but they run deep. We really talk about deep structures, the things that we don't often see, so therefore we don't talk about. We need to be talking about all of this, because that way we can see how those connections are made under the surface. And talking about those connections brings us together as a community, and we see our place in this in the whole network. Before we welcome Nick Cady with Cascadia Wildlands back to the KBOO airways, I just want to mention this. Would I be saying these things if it were not for the Reporters Committee and various other organizations that make it possible for reporters and journalists to do what they do every day without getting the carted off to the slammer? So, the House Judiciary Committee, Subcommittee on the Constitution and Civil Justice has up and urged lawmakers to pass federal anti-SLAPP statutes. What is SLAPP? Well, SLAPP is a strategic lawsuit against public participation. It's a statute that are an effective way, very effective way to terminate meritless lawsuits. So it reduces a burden on the court and at the same time promoting the exercise of free speech rights. Journalists and news organizations are obviously going to benefit from these laws. And anyone at all who speaks out on controversial matters enjoys the benefit of anti-SLAPP protections. So we have the Reporters Committee to thank for going to the mat and demanding that the Judiciary Committee consider some the anti-SLAPP laws that really should be in effect right now. They should have always been in effect. And if we were an intelligent, smart society, we wouldn't even need these laws because people wouldn't bring these stupid lawsuits against journalists. Very simple. Anyway, we turn now to the situation close to home, right here in Cascadia, and welcome Nick Cady with Cascadia Wildlands to the KBOO. Good morning, Nick.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for being with us again today. We're talking about the marble murrelet, and a lot of times lawmakers on the right make fun of these issues where small birds, small animals, essentially very, very defenseless creatures that play a huge role in the net of life. Can I ask you a bit about the murrelet and why it's important?
Sure. The Endangered Species Act in general is not just for the protection of these individual species. So when we're talking about, a small seabird or a snail even, or, some invertebrate species, it's easy to kind of laugh and consider it a joke, but they're really indicators more for the protection of kind of rare and disappearing habitat. And in the case of the marble murrelet, it's old growth forests in Oregon. And so that's what we're really getting at with this, with these petitions, is the protection of the remaining old growth in Oregon.
Yeah, so, and this, the old growth in Oregon, again, an extremely endangered species vanishing rapidly. I think people need to understand, too, that old growth means very large trees. Very large trees cannot survive long if it's just a relatively small stand of trees. They require the surrounding forests as part of the support system. I believe that scientists are not clear yet exactly how those relationships work, but it's been seen and proven many times in many places that old-growth forests do, in fact, require very large tracts of supporting habitat, just as our top predators require vast amounts of habitat in order to survive as a species. The habitat and the species are inseparable. And we see, this is the thing I believe that I want to talk about some more, is that the marble murrelet, we live here. And one problem is that if one hasn't lived here, if one does not have a long-term connection with the land, people used to have that, and of course indigenous people always have had that. They continue to have that today, and it's one reason why they are often the first to step forward and speak up in the name of protecting habitat. But when there's so much movement across the country, people move all the time from place to place, there's no connection with the land and the habitats. So it's hard to see how important these other species are, the murrelet and others, in the scheme of things. So you've very frequently gone to court on behalf of old growth forests and the murrelet. Right now, what's this case about for listeners who want to keep up?
Well, I think you're right in pointing out that the marbled murrelet needs kind of large tracts, contiguous older forest. And the problem with Oregon is that, or the difficulty that we have in Oregon, is that a lot of the federal land, a lot of the public lands, are in a checkerboard pattern with private land. So there's not a lot of contiguous older forest. It's kind of divided up into chunks of, you know, older federal land and then clear-cut private lands. And so a lot of endangered species, like the spotted owl and the marbled murrelet, recovery is going very slowly, or is actually the species are actually declining because there's not a lot of contiguous older forest. But the state in Oregon has several state forests, the Tillamook and Clatsop up outside of Portland in the North Coast, and the Elliott State Forest down near Coos Bay. And these present opportunities for these species. These are large tracts, contiguous forests. The Elliott State Forest itself is gorgeous old growth forest. And so what we're hoping to achieve through these petitions is that the state really steps up to protect the remaining old growth in Oregon and to protect the marbled murrelet as well.
So can you, before we let you go, just let the listeners know resources to go to Cascadia Wildlands and other ways of supporting the work that you're doing right now.
Yeah, come check us out at Cascadia Wildlands. The web address is www.caskwild.org.
Thanks so much, Nick. We really appreciate you taking the time to join us on the show so consistently. It's very, very important to talk about this. Thanks again. I've been speaking again, of course, with Nick Cady with Cascadia Wildlands. Now we turn to Harvey Wasserman is back on the show. Welcome, Harvey. Now we're talking Diablo Canyon. Is 2025 really a realistic date? Should they really be patting themselves on the back for deciding to shut it down in, 9-10 years? Good morning, Harvey.
Hey, Chris, great to be with you. And well, here's the deal. I'm sure most people, your listeners, have heard that there's been a deal cut to shut Diablo Canyon in California by 2025. And I want to say before we lose track that we want Whoops 2 shut long before that. What's called the Columbia Generating Station is losing tens of millions of dollars, and we can shut it down. I'm very optimistic we can do it in the near future if the utilities that own pieces of it, the public utility districts, will sue and enforce the contract there. So people have got to pay attention to that. About Diablo Canyon, the big significance of this, Chris, is that the biggest utility in California, one of the biggest in the world, one of the Pacific Gas and Electric, which has been pushing nuclear for decades, now says that it can, in fact, replace the nuclear power from Diablo Canyon with renewable energy. Now, when they do it is up to us. We're going to push like crazy to get these reactors shut earlier, and we have a very good chance of doing that. But the utility has admitted that, which they have never admitted before, that all that electricity from the nukes can be replaced with renewables. And that's the big deal. They have also come up with, and this is important, a plan to retrain and retain the workers at the plant. You know, it's always been a stumbling block when we say we want to shut a nuke to these the 1,000 people who usually work at a reactor will be thrown out of a job, and that's important. And what's happened with this agreement now is that it's been shown that a plan can be put in place to take care of these people. So these are the two major elements. We've known for a while that PG&E was probably going to not pursue a license renewal. And that means that those licenses expire in 2024 and 2025, which is allegedly an outer limit as to how long those reactors can operate. But in fact, Indian Point continues to operate even though licenses have expired there. So it's important, Chris, to understand that this deal was cut with major environmental groups, and there's been these lunatics running around saying that environmentalists are now supporting nuclear power is utterly ridiculous. This agreement really undercuts that crazy assertion, and it also makes it clear that nuclear power cannot fight global warming. Nuclear power actually causes global warming, and this really opens, at least in public relations terms, a clear path to a solartopian renewable-based future. So you're right to say 2025, what are they talking about? And it's up to us to make sure that these reactors shut long before that, but it does really make a statement that this is the direction we're headed.
What's it going to come? This is my final question. I was so glad that you could be with us today, but what'll it cost? Who's going to pay, and where are they going to ship it? And it's going to be Hanford. I have a terrible feeling. Well, there's going to definitely be a fight over where does it all go? You can't just take a bunch of barrels of the stuff. I mean, the whole place is contaminated, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't have a good answer for you, except that we're not going to build any more of these reactors, and we're really rapidly shutting the old ones. This is the seventh reactor shutdown announced in the last month. These two at Diablo join five others that have been announced to be shut down in the last 30 days. I mean, this is unprecedented. It's a tsunami of reactor shutdown. Where we're going to go with the waste, I wish I knew. And we have that problem at Whoops 2, which is on the Hanford Reservation. But, you know, we will get them shut and we will have to deal with this. But, Chris, the good news here is that what was once the biggest utility in the world now admits that nuclear power can be replaced with renewables. And that's the real big meaning of this